We always need the Lord's blessing, folks. We are humans, but the Lord smiles on those who love Him. And I'm so grateful for that this morning. You know, when we got up from prayer a while ago, that very song was on my heart too. Sweet Hour of Prayer. In fact, I almost let out with it. But I thought, well, maybe somebody else has a special song. But that song's really special to me too. Sister Roberta, I know you're the one that prayed this morning. That's the reason why I really appreciate the Hour of Prayer. It does something for us, folks, when we can come to the Lord all burdened and maybe things are weighing heavy and start just unloading. And all the sweetness that we find there. And there are some times when that sweetness, it just enlivens your soul. And while you're there, you just want to stay. And I remember one time in my early walk with the Lord, it seemed like I had been in a place where Satan had seemingly let out a flood out of his mouth to try to make me feel like I couldn't go any farther. And I told him, I'm not interested in quitting. I've got to keep what the Lord gave me. And I started going off back in the pasture out there and got off behind a pond and just fell down praying to the Lord. I want to tell you, the Lord came and met me so really. And I couldn't see Him, but I could. I'm still not sure exactly whether these ears was hearing or not, but it was awfully close to that. And we just talked. You know, most of the time we think about kneeling down. And I started out like that, kneeling down, my eyes closed. But it wasn't long. I was sitting down there on that pond dam, talking to the one sitting next to me, with my eyes wide open, just communing. And after a while, the sun was going down. And I was heading back to the house, and he said, I'll walk with you. And he walked with me as I want to tell you, folks, those are special times. Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. That's the kind of God we have. And I would encourage all of us to make full use of that. Not just in our prayer life at home, but I know it's difficult sometimes here in the congregation to lead out. I understand that well. But all lead on out when the Lord inspires your heart. Lead on out in prayer here in the congregation. It's a sweet time. And even if you stumble and stammer around, can't get it out, and you forget half of what you was going to pray about, I enjoy listening to you. I find sweetness when I hear somebody else pouring out their heart to the Lord. Some of the greatest heart ties that I have made with people is when we've been together in prayer. Yes. Hearing the other brother pouring out his heart, and I had my heart down inside, said, I know what your burden is. I'm feeling the same thing, brother. Oh, we've had some special times like that. Now encourage us. Let's make use of that. It's a special thing. The Lord has given avenue that we can talk with Him. It's special. I thank the Lord for His mercy to me. Well, I have some thoughts on our heart this morning. Over here in Genesis. And again, I want to get me some Kleenex. I suppose that when I'm dead and gone, you'll probably remember Brother Ivan crying, but I guess I'm not going to make any excuses for that. I hope you remember that God put a different spirit in my heart. Because I remember a time that I didn't do much of this. And the Lord changed me, and I'm very grateful, so I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Over in Genesis, the third chapter, I want to read some verses here. Genesis 3, going to start with the 17th verse. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife,
and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. I'm thinking about what was instituted here. It wasn't God's original plan that the earth would bring forth trouble. Notice what he said. Cursed is the ground. The ground didn't do anything wrong. Wasn't the ground's fault. But yet you and I recognize that the world that we live in today and the efforts that we deal with, the things that we deal with in life, we recognize that those things, there's opposition, there's things we have to hold the garden, don't we? There's weeds began to come up. In all areas, not just the garden, but I'm talking about all areas of your life, whatever you deal with. And sometimes I would think that, you know, we have the attitude, and I suppose it's not altogether wrong, but we'd like to just go out and always have the fresh fruit hanging on the trees, and I just pick it, and it's always there, and life is easy. And sometimes my prayers reflect that. Lord, I'm in trouble. Get me out of trouble. The ground's cursed, folks. Man's days are few. And they're not devoid of trouble. You will have them. And you will have them whether you are saved or not. I will tell you that from my few years of walking away from the Lord, that I found out the ways out there, they're full of trouble too. And those troubles that you have under that taskmaster have no benefit. They leave behind bitter memories. And they work bitterness in your heart. But yet we all live still in the ground. And here where things don't always go well. And though I would love to go out and always, there always be ripe, fresh fruit on the tree. And I don't have to work and I can sit in the shade. And that is not healthy, nor is it right. Something about the way, because sin is in this world. Because man, and what was it? He said, I cursed the ground for your sake. It wasn't that the ground, anything was evil or wrong. But folks, sometimes in our mind, we start getting into difficulties of life. Most of the time, we are looking for the avenue out. And I don't want the escape. And deliver me now, Lord, when really maybe God wants us to start digging for the gold while we're there. It doesn't come to you and I. These things don't come to you and I without purpose and without cause. I know sometimes accidents happen. There are things that happen. But I want to tell you, suppose in our mind we say, well, this is an accident. God didn't intend for that to happen. And perhaps sometimes I would admit to you, God didn't. That wasn't God's plan. But when it happens, God intends for it to be used in our life in a good way. And if we let Him, He'll do it. Life isn't easy. And I will never preach to you a gospel that tells you once you get saved and sanctified that all you have to do is name it and claim it and you're going to be on mountains all the time. I won't tell you that. The reason why I won't tell you that is that is not consistent with Scripture. But I will tell you, there is a cross. And there is a cross that has wondrous glory. And there is a way that is not easy to the flesh, but is liberating to the soul. I will tell you of a way in which God Himself has ordained. And oh, I'm remembering that song right now. Oh, it's been precious to my soul many a time. And when I'm in that way so narrow, I can see a pathway through. And how sweetly Jesus whispers, "Take the cross, thou needst not fear. For I've been that way before you. I've tried the way, and the glory lingers near." Oh, embrace what we're in. I'm not saying, yes, and I'll continue to pray. Lord, help us to get through this. Lord, sometimes I will pray, "Lord, deliver us." But I don't ever finish that prayer without saying, "Lord, thy will be done." And I've had times where I felt like news came to my ears, or a knowledge that desperate times had just gotten hold of me. And have you ever felt when that news comes and the chill go through your veins? Have you ever had that feeling? The shock. And you feel, I don't know how I'll say it, I just feel sometimes the chill go through me, knowing this is not what I want. I didn't want that at all. What do we do at that time? What are we going to do now? You have a decision to make. In those moments, what am I going to do? I choose to embrace the cross. And I want to ask you this morning, don't look at the cross as being an instrument of something I've got to bear on my back and bend and always be under the drudgery. No, I want to tell you, I want you to see a different picture of the cross today. Because the cross has wondrous glories. Oft I've proved it to be true. There is a way, and I know this is very different to much of what even nominal Christianity would try to teach today. But it's the way of Christ. Nor do I promote the idea that we wallow in suffering, but we embrace godliness and His ways. You know, we can carnally take joy. Let me say it like this. We can, of the flesh, take pleasure in self-pity when you're in the way. And that's not good either. God wants you and I to be able to see the path that He has prescribed and embrace it and go through it hunting for the gold. At the same time, when we're going through it, the Lord wants to create something in you and I that causes you and I to become adult. How else do I say that? We mature in the ways of the Lord as we go this way. Now, I was thinking about the word responsibility. The Lord wants all of us to become responsible. And I want to think about that for just a little bit. When you think of somebody who is responsible, what's your picture that's in your mind? Are you thinking about having a 10-year-old boy telling him to go out and stay after this job that's going to be 3 or 4 hours long? You know, most of the time he's not going to be able to stick with it unless he's been well trained. Normally that comes with experience and growth and time and maturing. I want to tell you, the Lord wants you and I to grow and to be able to respond. Responsible. Able to respond. Think of that for a little bit. It doesn't take, we're not talking about somebody who has always shirked When it looked like, let me bring forward an example. David, though a stripling, had grown into somebody who could respond. Had he not? Think of him for a little bit. What got him to the place that he could stand confidently and say, this uncircumcised Philistine doesn't look any different than what the Lord has already brought me through? What brought him to that place? Some experiences that he had had already. And he had not run when the bear came. He had not run when the lion. He had not run when those oppositions came his way. He had faced them. And it's important that you and I today, because of this law that is a fact that humans we live under, there is a law that you and I must embrace the curse of the ground, the difficulties of life, the things that come our way. God set it in order for, He said, I did it for you, Adam. And you know, if everything always went well, you know, we would never grow in grace. But you know, if everything always went the way I humanly had planned it out, oh, I want this day to go just in order. And at the end of the day, I want to just be all smiles and rested. Doesn't work that way. You know, in raising your family, it don't always work that way. On the job, it don't always work that way. You know, here the other day I had a day planned, and you know, things had to click in just a certain. I had an appointment here, and I had certain timing that had to happen. Well, you know, the first one, I got there and started to do the work. And the person said, oh, and here's these other things I would like to have done. That wasn't in my plan. And it messed up everything else that I had planned, all the timing. And then I have this frustration begin to build. And I look at the watch, I don't have watch anymore, but the look at the time, and you start recognizing that I'm not going to make it to the next appointment. I feel embarrassed to call the people, but yet I've got to take extra time now to call the person. And then I try to call and they didn't answer. Oh, you know what life is like. The ground is cursed. What for? When I was, one time, went through a school and I saw a sign, a little motto on the side that said, life is like a grindstone. It will either grind you down or polish you up, depending on the material you're made of. Now, we can choose when all the frustration begins to build. We can choose to take that in a way in which I'm looking for the escape route. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to dig down there and say, all right, this is what we've got. We're going to have to deal with it. I'm going to work through it. We can try to find the escape route and say, well, somebody else better deal with the roaring of the giant because I don't know. Well, maybe the Lord wants to build you to the place that you can have some confidence. So the little things in life you come to, stay with it. Stick in there. Decide that I will go through it, not only just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Lord, I'm going to stay there. I'm not going to quit. I will not give up. You know, it's important not only for you to be able to say that, it's also important for the devil to hear it. There's a scripture that says, resist the devil. It has a positive correlation to his response. You resist the devil, he'll flee. It also lets you know that if you choose to cower at his roaring, he will continue to advance and close in. And you'll get to the point that you have no place to go and you'll have to fight. Best time to do is fight now. Spiritual battle. Now, I want to look at the first part of this reading. unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Now, he's not saying here that Adam should not listen to his wife, nor is he telling the men here in this congregation that we are to be so arrogant in our marriages that we don't listen to our wives. That's not what he's teaching here. Yet there are some people, and the devil would like to get us in the vein of thoughts that we get so puffed up within ourselves that we would try to usurp that type of a position. It's always damaging to you if you do that. And I want to tell you, young men and men in this congregation, if you take that role, you are cutting yourself off from a blessed avenue that the Lord has put in your life that is intended to balance and protect and bless you in your life. If you take that position, you will be causing the thorns to grow more thickly in your life. And it's the will of God that you and I do not do that. But what he's talking to Adam here about is that he put a certain, for want of a better word, a certain responsibility. He put a certain something on Adam that he was supposed to react in the right way. What should he have done when he heard his wife say, Adam, look at this. Look at the fruit. What should he have done? And you think in your mind, it's not that he didn't hear what she had to say. What was his response? What should have been his response? What should he have been able to say? Should have said, oh, Eve, we're not even supposed to be here. Eve, this is not the place. Eve, give me your hand. Let's flee from this thing. Responsibility, you see. The ability to respond to what was there. But the Lord said, Adam. Now, he'd already dealt with Eve. But he said, Adam, in what I told you to do, and you listened to your wife's voice to the point that you agreed with her in error. And young men, I want to tell you, it's important in your development of life that you learn to put God at the center of your focus, and you are willing to do whatever it takes to keep a vibrant passion for the things of the Lord in your life. Oh, these are words I'm using that I know are kind of generic or hurt so much. I want to try to say it in a different way, but young men, there are actions that you and I need to take that prove to the Lord and to ourselves that I will do whatever it takes to keep my soul clear in the world that we live in today. Whatever that is, and sometimes we can point to things, and it's not always wrong to point to things that we should avoid. But old folks, young men, there are things that we may not even be able to cover right now, but the Lord can put His finger on those places in your life. I want to encourage you to be sensitive to His voice. Because the Lord wants to build you into something that can properly respond to the voice of Satan when he comes. You see this avenue? Oh, men, the Lord wants to make you walls of protection in this world. Young men, as the Lord is developing places in you, let Him develop. And sometimes these hard things come your way to help develop character in you, develop godliness and right ways in you. Let it happen. Embrace it and choose to do what's right in those times. Even when you recognize maybe I didn't do that well, come back and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be strengthened in this area. I want to do it right. Seek after godliness and godly ways. It is imperative in my mind that in your youth, you begin to develop this idea, this mindset that I will put God first at all cost. And young men, as you grow and develop in the things of the Lord, if you are not well established in the things of the Lord before you get married, it won't get any easier after that. You have other factors now come in. If you're looking for time now to spend with the Lord and you're having a hard time, it's not going to get any easier after you get married. So I want to encourage you to set a pattern in your life now of seeking the Lord, because you will reap great benefits in your life. Well, Adam was, the Lord talked to him because he hearkened to the voice of his wife, and you chose to go ahead. Now you have eaten of the tree. Notice the avenue that the devil used to get to his heart. I'm not talking about just his wife, but there is weakness. He's supposed to love his wife. There's supposed to be that attachment. But men, did you know, if you and I get to the place that we become weak in our own soul, our families suffer. God intends for you and I to be in that place that we can stand as a protective force for my wife, and the blessing then goes ahead and surrounds my children and the congregation we live in and the people on the job that we're around. You know, your life affects them. Whether you decide to smile or chuckle at the off-color statements, it says something. And I'm not trying to preach to you a way that you feel all just so straight and like it's unattainable. I'm not saying that at all, folks. This, the pathway of attaining this is falling in love with the Lord every day and enjoying the walk, because it becomes liberating. It's not something that I feel, oh, if I don't do that, brother so-and-so is going to look funny at me. And you feel, if that's what you're feeling today, I want to tell you there's a better way. There's a way in which you can just run free in the things of the Lord. When the mist from the hills clears away. You know, we sang that song last night. What? Joyful Meeting in Glory. What's the number of that song? What was it? 375. Thank you. You know, most of the time we think of this song as a song about, you know, when we die and go on. And I suppose it could well apply to that, but I'm not sure that's what Brother D.S. Warner meant for that to apply to here. Watchman, what of the morning? A spiritual dawning. Watchman, tell me. Tell me what you're seeing. Young ladies, not talk to you or not, because this applies to you too, but I especially want our young men to get a hold of this. Young men, God wants to give you a vision of the morning. He wants a dawning to arise in your heart. He wants to fix a vision of a future. He wants to fix your heart on heavenly things. Oh, let Him. As He begins to reveal His goodness to you, when you begin to go in your closet of prayer and you pour out your heart and He begins to share His sweetness with you, let it fix your heart on heavenly things. Seek ye first the things of God, the kingdom of God. Tell me, watchman, what of the morning? Do you see now as the mist clears away? You know what He's talking about? All the mists of confusion. All those things where you don't know what direction to take. And at this time, a lot of this is being applied to the confusion out in Septism. All the babble of voices. And all, but there were people getting a vision of what it was like to come and worship the Lord in all freedom. Oh, I can just fully give myself to the Lord and enjoy it and come together. And there's other saints there too, feeling the same thing. And you see the mist being dispelled by the sweet presence of the Lord. And we come here today, folks, and the saints, we come here and we sing the sweet songs of Zion. And they ring true in our heart. And you hear once in a while somebody say, amen. And you see a hand go up. I too can rejoice. Because He sanctified me. Oh, I know in my heart what it means. You see, I've got something down in here. The Lord has done something down in our souls. And it's fixed my vision on heavenly things. No longer, don't tell me about these earthly pleasures. They don't keep me any longer. I've seen something better. Tell me, watchman, what are you seeing? Is the morning dawning? Is there something stirring in your soul? Is the mist clearing away? Is the Lord helping you catch a greater vision? Sometimes we might try to say, well, we're going to have to train our young folks how to work for the Lord. I want to tell you, the best training place there is catch a vision of God's way. That the rest will become clear. Then you've got something to say to them. If you go out with just man's wisdom, you're going to meet things you won't be able to handle. But oh, when you've been talking with the author, when you've been talking with the Father, when you feel the security down in your soul, you're going to still meet some things, folks. It's going to happen. You will. Oh, but you know in your heart what it means. And whether you can even tell them in a way that would confound you, we don't always have to confound people to convince them, folks. Sometimes just a godly demeanor. Just the ability to be true and faithful as we walk before them. That sometimes is the most convincing thing that there is. One time, I remember hearing Brother Sammons talk about, and you know, those of you who are a little older, you remember how in his youth, a lot of times he would preach hard. One time he was talking about, he was in a meeting and he was in there preaching hard, and people were listening. They were listening. But he said, my sweet wife sitting over there with her godly demeanor and the way she was dressed and the way she was. He said that was preaching a louder message than he could ever preach. They both must blend together, folks. They both must blend together. Adam, you've let something else come in and influence you. Sometimes these avenues that would come into our heart, these things that would approach our hearts, they wouldn't be dangerous if they announced up front that I've got some poison in me. They wouldn't be dangerous, but they produce a cloak around them of at least, if not righteousness, they produce a cloak of innocence. But look, what's wrong with this fruit? And it really tastes good. And I haven't died. And really I've learned that I've gotten a little smarter. I've become open-minded. And I've learned that really the reason why the Lord didn't want us to get involved in this was because once I would get involved with it, I would know more like He knows. And really, the Lord's been kind of holding us back. You heard that type of a thinking, folks? Maybe not exactly the way I said it, but the devil will present that to our minds in this era that we're in. There's things the devil will bring and present to your mind. I want to tell you, folks, sometimes we don't recognize readily that there's poison in it. But the Lord Himself would like to help us to have a quickened discernment, an enlivened discernment, when I begin to recognize something's not right here. It should at least put up a question mark, if not an alarm, when it begins to say, if you'll do this, you'll be more like God. You'll He has been holding back on you, and that what He's told you before, actually, if you'll go against that, you're going to be wise like Him.
If it's not dealing with the spiritual man and enlivening our soul, it's not a wisdom. It's a worldly wisdom, and you and I need not have it. It'd be damaging to us. But yet the devil is still out there selling his wares, and as he did here to Adam and Eve. Adam's response should have been, he should have had the ability to respond and said, "No, my love, I will not go there. Because I've heard the Lord say, and I will not do it." I don't know what would have happened. I don't know. But that's what God wants you and I to say today. When these things approach you and I, God give us a quickened understanding, a clear eyesight, something we recognize when it's coming our way and is meant for the destruction of our soul, that we can see the poison below the cloak of innocence. You hearken to her voice, and you've eaten of the tree, which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. What does this mean? Again, going back to the idea of I like everything to be easy, but the Lord said it's not going to be. Have you heard the term idleness? An idle mind, that's what. An idle mind is a devil's... That's right. Idle mind is a devil's workshop. It's a place he plays. So you know the reason why the Lord gave you things to do? Out of the sweat of your brow? You see a young man that doesn't have anything to do, I want to tell you, I'm sure the devil will find something for him to do. Or else he will order his steps, learn to see a vision of something greater. Oh, sometimes I think of David. And when he came to where the battle should have been raging, where they should have been taking on the foe. And he came there and they were all scared. What are we going to do? Folks, the devil's not through roaring. Nor are the giants through standing up. The giants will issue challenges, sometimes in our individual lives. Sometimes collectively to the church of God, the devil will stand up and issue it. This is what we should do. First, get a hold of God's timing. But then go when He says go. Don't need to quake. But He's a giant. He's a lot bigger than I am. Yes, He was. David never contested that. He didn't argue that. But he's so big and so... He didn't say that, no, I'm bigger than him. He didn't say that. He said, no, but the God that's helped me in the past is going to help me now. God wants to build that kind of confidence in your life today. Though 1,000 should fall, yet it won't come near you. You see, I want to talk to over there in Psalms, talked about the rock, the place, the tower that the righteous run into and are saved. And I'm not teaching to you a utopian where everything is always going to go well. That's not what I'm teaching. I'm teaching you the way to go through. The thorns will grow. The thistles will be there. The difficulties of life you will not escape. Whether you live for the Lord or not, I choose to do it with the Lord
Because as I go through some of these things with the Lord, I find that He's able to use them in such a manner that when I'm on the other side, I am strengthened. I am made my confidence in not in myself, but in the Lord has grown. My faith has found a bigger foundation to grow from. Turn with me over into the book of Job. Poor brother Job. Sometimes I look at his case and I say, oh my. I feel sorry for him. But he was living in the thistles. It was not an easy thing at all. The latter part of Job here, you remember the young man came out and began to speak. Over here in the 33rd chapter, I believe, of Job, Elihu, the young man who had listened, he sat there and listened to all what everyone else said. And basically it had degenerated into just a carnal human argument between these men and Job. And he said, Job, you've sinned. And they would hurl accusations and then Job would say, be quiet. I'm tired of hearing you. If the Lord was here right now, I'd love to talk with Him. I want to make my case. It's unfair what the Lord has done. Folks, before you judge Job too harshly, if he was in his shoes, it would be difficult for you too. But the Lord wants to bring you and I through those places. And the Lord had a desire to bring Job through it too. Now, Elihu was listening to all this. And he came down in the 6th verse of Job 33. He said, Elihu was talking to Job. He said, now if you want to answer in the 5th verse, if thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me, stand up. And then he says, behold, I am according to you to thy wish in God's city. Remember when he said, I wish God was here, I'd make my argument. Elihu said, I'm here. I'm going to stand in the place of God. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of clay. I'm not God. I'm a human like you. But I'm going to justify. I'm going to tell you God's right, Job. You said, 9th verse, said, I am clean without transgression. I'm innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He puts my feet in the stocks. I've heard you say this, Job. He puts my feet in the stocks. He marks my paths. Job, behold, in this thou art not just. I'll answer thee that God is greater than man. Think of that for a little bit. That should be a profound answer. Folks, when you and I are in a place that we can no longer, it seems like that we cannot see a way out. And it seems like God has brought me in a place that there is no answer. It's not a good time to accuse God. But rather, it's a good time for me to reaffirm to my mind and to my soul that God's right. He's greater than I am. And He doesn't have to tell me why. He's God. Oh, folks, when you and I are going through the thistles, and you will, when you and I are having to deal with life and it's hard times, and I thought when I was young, I had it in my mind that, you know, if we can work hard, and if I can provide for my family, and if I can get my children raised into the teenage years and a little bit past maybe, and kind of get up to the adult that maybe you've heard about retirement before and a little smoother sailing. It's not so. And it's okay. Responsibility grows with experience. Also, I want to tell you, there are things. Again, it depends on how you handle it. Job, it's good for all of us when we're going through those things to recognize God's right. And then say, Lord, help me to know how to go through this in a right way. And then as the responsibility grows and the experiences grow, there are things that maybe I even wanted to say back when 20 years ago, but they didn't hold the same meaning. If I even said the same words back then, they wouldn't hold the same meaning that they hold today, because experience has given the words greater weight. Amen. And you can't substitute experience, folks. You can't do it. And I'm not saying I'm the most experienced one here at all. Not at all. I know well I'm not. But I know if I continue on, the experiences that the Lord brings my way, they're intended for my good. It's not His desire to crush man. And so when you enter into that place, it seems like you hardly, it's all pressed around you and you hardly know what to do with life. Don't hang your head in depression. Let me say it differently. You know how you feel when it's all coming, crashing around? But recognize there is a God. Oh, Lord, I don't see the way right now. And like Job, he said, I'm still going to go. He knows the way that I take. And I want to tell you, folks, every one of us is going to feel those feelings. As you go through life, there are going to be times you say, what am I going to do with this? I've had that so many times. And it's not over. And I say that with a smile right now. There's going to be a day I may not say that with such a smile. But, and when we're going in that, God wants to bring us through. And He will if we let Him. What was it God trying to do to Job? Was it to make his life miserable? That's not the purpose. No, the thorns are going to grow. His purpose is not to make our life miserable, but for our good. That it would be something that would remind us of our frailty and of our need of Him. And as the more I learn to lean on Him, the more He begins to develop manly characteristics and women, young ladies, God wants to create in you spiritual, manly characteristics, stability, the ability to stand, having done all, to stand. God wants to create that in you also. Oh, but I speak to our men and our young men, especially today. As you begin to go through life, let the Lord develop something in you that when you begin to hear the real roaring in the future, and it looks like that I don't know how to handle this. The path that the Lord has already brought you will give you the clues. If you have sought to the Lord for the victories in the past, seek to Him now. And it will begin to establish not only, it will confirm the route, the path of the past, but it will confirm the route of today. And that in the future, David didn't know what was actually going to happen. He didn't know. He couldn't tell you that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sling this thing and I'm going to hit him between the eyes and he's going to fall down. He didn't know that. He knew that he was going to do God's will. That's what he knew. And determine and set it in your heart without set it in concrete without it being movable. I choose to do it God's way. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go that way. Always also say, by the grace of God. There's more over here. In if you ever get the time, read what Elihu said. And I think you'll find it encouraging how that he justified God in his ways. And I will tell you, sometimes, folks, when we're in the battle, it's a natural feeling, a natural tendency to say, Lord, why? Lord, this is not what I want. Lord, this surely is not your will. Now, when you're in prayer, seek where the Lord's will is in the matter. I'm not saying not to question and ask, Lord, what's going on here? Because we should. Sweet hour of prayer. But when the Lord says, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction, say, Lord, give me grace to go through it. Let me tell you, sometimes we don't know what the Lord's doing. I'm confident that when we're going through it the way the Lord wants us to, it will bring gold. As Job said, when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. It will create gold and precious jeweled places in our life. But many times, the Lord, who knows how to maximize the benefit for all, is not only intending to get gold in your life, He wants to help someone else too. And many times, many others. Have you ever thought what it would have been like if the three Hebrew children would have started cowering in fear? Maybe they would have said, all right, we're going to go there and we're going to tell him that we're not going to bow down. But if the going gets really rough and he begins to bind us and he starts heading toward that furnace, we're going to say, hey, hang on, let me rethink this. Did you know they wouldn't have made it? It would have been a disastrous ending. I really believe they had it settled that if we burn, we'll burn. I'm not full of care about this, O King. I've decided that what the Lord allows to come in our life, I'm going to stay faithful to Him. Not going to move. King, you're going to have to do what you've said. Whatever. But my trust is in the Lord. Now, you see what the Lord brought out of it? Not only did these three young men have a testimony that they walked in a fire. And I don't know how many of you could say you've been in a furnace like that. I know sometimes spiritually, folks, we're still there. We've done it. But physically, they walked in a furnace that was should have burned everything off. At least their hair wasn't even singed. They had that testimony. Not only did they have that, but the Lord began talking to a king's heart. And the king said, there's not a God greater than this one. Don't you know the Lord's one? Sometimes when He puts you in a furnace and you have no idea, why, Lord, am I in this furnace? Maybe He wants to change someone else's heart. Yes, and get glory to God. That's the purpose of it. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm not saying reach out and grab hold of thistles, but folks, sometimes we embrace the things that are in our life. I'm not saying go out and seek out the thistles. The ground will produce them. But when the Lord said that, notice what He said to Adam. Cursed is the ground for your sake. What I have done is done for your good. I did it for you. Because if you went on and everything still kept, if you still went over and you picked everything, it was just all given to you, you would still feel like the sin in your heart was fine. You know what the Lord does many times when we're going through these difficult times? He begins to bare our heart. And we recognize what's there. He begins to uncover. And He begins to clean out. Brother Clifford Wilson told me one time, I don't think he realized how how loudly the words rung that were so softly spoken to me. They're still ringing in my ears now. I had prayed that the Lord would come in and own this soul of mine. Brother Clifford looked at me and he said, "Now," he said, "let me tell you, Brother Ivan, what the Lord taught me." He said, "When I came to the Lord for sanctification and I gave myself to the Lord," he said, "Cliff," he said, "you've given me a big heart with a little space in it." He said, "I'm there." He said, "What I'm going to do now, and I'm going to start chipping off. Your job is to throw out what I chip off." Sanctification is like that, folks. There are many times we bring this heart to the Lord, and I gave it all to Him. With all my heart, I gave it to Him. And the Lord accepts it. With pleasure, takes ownership of what we give Him. And then He moves in. And He begins to uncover. And many times the tools that He uses to uncover are adversities of life. You remember the story about the parable? About the seed that was scattered? And some found good ground. And some grew, and they grew, and they produced fruit. Some, varying degrees of fruit. Didn't remember? Some a hundredfold, but not all. Have you ever wondered what caused the difference in the ability to do the hundredfold or the lesser? What made the difference? Is it in good ground? I think many times it has to do with whether you and I are willing, when we meet these places in life, to embrace it and get down and go through it in a godly way. You're going to produce more fruit, folks, when you do that. What was it that has made the giants of our faith in the past? Those that we look on, and forgive me, but I knew Brother Clifford well. And he's dead and he's not going to get proud by the things that I say. But I want to tell you, I saw the man's life and I saw the things that he went through, heard about some of the things he went through. And I want to tell you, he stands as a giant and he didn't climb up on that mountain by ease. Didn't do it. He embraced the things, and they weren't easy for him, folks. They were difficult things for him. I've seen him weep some tears. One time I went, my dear sweet brother, getting up in years, still fighting, saw him go to the altar. I didn't feel like praying with him at all. I felt he needed to be praying with me. One time I was out there in West Virginia. Y'all know Brother Harold Purvis. Have high regard for the man. Believe he's fought some battles. He's gained some places. Seen him as a father in Zion. Saw him go down to that altar. I want to tell you, you know how it makes me feel? Went down there to pray with him. I didn't feel like, "Lord, I have nothing to offer this man. It's going to have to be you." You know what he was praying? He was pouring out his heart. He wanted to make sure everything was clear. This is how you get giants, folks. It's not that everything has went well and they've just grown well and they've just stood up. No, it's people have become giants because they went through some things. And they've got some victories. And they've got maybe some scars. More than a conqueror, I understand. But you're going to go through some things and you're going to get some victories. And you're going to have some, they're going to leave some marks behind. Maybe I'll say it like this, there's some beauty marks.
Jesus had.
Yes, He did. He sure did. And they're proof He went through it. And the Lord will leave some marks of His very character on your heart. You see, it's when we sure can draw back and say, Lord, it's too hard. That's when the fruit is limited. Oh, God wants us all that our joy might be full. that the fruit might be, the tree would be loaded. Let me also leave you with this thought that I have never seen a peach tree that's a baby. I've never seen a 1-year-old peach tree be loaded with peaches. It takes some time, some growth, some establishment. And the Lord wants to establish every one of us in here. And He wants us to produce. But don't worry so much about the producing. Worry about the staying faithful. The production will come. You also remember when Jesus gave the parable about the owner of the tree. He said the owner came by and he looking for fruit. There wasn't any. And the gardener, he told the gardener, he said, cut it down. It doesn't need to be here any longer. But the gardener said, he said, let me have it a little longer. And I want to tell you today, sometimes we feel like maybe we're stagnant in your life. The gardener looks at you and he says, give him some time. Think of the mercy of Jesus, right? Oh, give me some time. You know what he did? What he did with that fruit tree? He said, I want to dig about it. I want to dung it. What are these things that happen? The digging and the dunging, what is it? Is it ease of life? No, it's not. If that's what you're looking for, you're never going to grow. Let me tell you what this digging and dunging is all about. Is some difficult things are going to come your way. For the purpose is that you might bear fruit. And you're going to come out on the other side if you're faithful. If you're faithful and you've been awakened in your soul to righteousness, you're going to come out on the other side being full bloom. And the fruit begins to grow. And other people will look on that and they're going to say, oh, look at what the Lord's doing. And it will cause them to be encouraged. Sometimes it sets another high water mark in people's, another goal. Brothers and sisters, when I see you having victory in some hard trials, I'm looking at that and say, oh, Lord, I want to be there too. I want to be there. When I go through that, Lord, help me to have the same grace. I'm thinking right now of Sister Karen LaCroix and what she's going through. Folks, I want to tell you, if you get in a place where something comes on you that you know this is it, and you feel the shock and the ice water go through your veins, then you've got a decision. And I look at people like that who remain faithful to the Lord, and I say, Lord, I want to be that same way. That's a high water mark, Lord. I want to be right there too. And I'm encouraged because they're doing it. And they've made it. I have watched brothers and sisters throughout the past be faithful to the Lord through all manner of affliction, through all manner of opposition. Again, another one that stands out in my mind is old Brother White out there in West Virginia. He wasn't one of those that stood up and tooted his horn very much, but I want to tell you, he went through some things and he got the victories. And if somebody preached a stirring, anointed message on humility or something like that, Brother White, an humble man, would be back down there praying for more humility. Oh, the Lord wants to make giants of you and I. And He's going to use the difficulties of life. Cursed is the ground for your sake. For your sake. The difficulties. Don't look at it as being such a terrible thing. You're not going to say it's the easiest thing because it's not supposed to be. But it's supposed to begin to start polishing the diamond that's below. You know, a diamond
that has a lot of facets on it. They claim that it reflects, it's more, how do they call that, more radiant. What causes those facets? They are design cuts by a master jeweler that knows exactly the angles to cut and how to make it. Don't you know the Lord knows how to cut? He's the master. And He takes your life. As long as what we leave our lives in His hand, He takes it and begins to shape and mold and shine and cause you and I to be in the image of the Father, that we reflect the glory of the Lord, that He would be glorified in this life here. Pray for me. I want to be faithful and true to the end.